republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this time, would you please join me in a moment of silence to remember any of those you would like to remember? Okay, roll call, please.
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Ohilski.
Here.
Director Tornatsky.
Here.
Vice President Millage.
Here.
President Storm.
Here. May we have the report out of closed session, please?
Yes, just very briefly, you did give staff some direction on the documentation, and there will be a reportable action eventually, assuming we get signatures.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'll open public comment for items not on the agenda. Public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and something our community has been waiting for a very long time is the Habitat Conservation Plan. We heard at LOCAC last week that U.S. Fish and Wildlife has served this county with 40 questions. My understanding is that these questions, comments, concerns, whatever they are moving the goalposts for the plan, which just adds time and money to that project. Without the Habitat Conservation Plan, the community remains in limbo. Some of the concerns I have for the CSD is it's continuing to work towards a dog park without having the Habitat matter resolved, burning through the park fund. Something that I have suggested to our supervisor, and I maybe would like to put it out there, that it's maybe another tact is to actually try to delist the snail. And the reason I say that is because throughout the sewer project, I like the snail. It's a cool little critter. But throughout the sewer project, there was a monitoring program in place. With the way that the project grid through the town, you can actually look at their reports and find where every single snail was found, pretty much how old it was, and they don't tell you it was moved or it was killed or it's all documented where these snails are. Over 2,000 of them were found in the urban area that has relatively little to no native habitat for these species. Many more live out on the sand spit where nature has left them untouched. So an example that I look at is the extinction of or near extinction of the condor. Down to under 10 of these birds were in existence, and they were brought back. And now there's 150 to the north of us and 150 of them to the south of us, and they're now no longer extinct. They're still cool creatures, absolutely. So what we've never heard is, what is the threshold? How many snails do you have to have a species that's not extinct or endangered? And perhaps the CSD might lean on the supervisor, or maybe take a position of your own.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Delisting.
Good evening, Steve Best. Oh, I've got so many different things, but I did want to make one comment about the report that was supposed to be a CSD report, but it turned out to be a dog park report. And can you say dog park, boys and girls? It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Having been the originator of the of the dog park group that was intended upon putting together a nonprofit group to start a dog park. Myself and none of the other people that were involved in that group have been contacted by the CSD in any way, shape, or form regarding the any efforts to put the, together the dog park that or any efforts by the CSD for the dog park. The only people I don't know about are the ones that had that were sent to the CSD by our group, but turned out to be working with the CSD on and never returned back to us because they were, had a backdoor deal with the CSD. But on that note, one of the things I find to be unusual is that we do not have any transparency at all. We do not have any idea what is going on with the how the arrangements were going to be as far as who's going to pay for the dog park, how the where the money's going to be coming from. The group that we originally going to start was going to pay for the dog park 100%, that the land was going to come from either through the county or through the CSD, that we were going to take care of the financial aspects of the whole thing from soup to nuts, and that this was going to be a collaborative effort. Now it's not going to be anything of the kind. We have other issues, such as what's going on with the where the water that's coming currently going into Broderson. It's reclaimed water. It's going into 6 acres, 6 to 8 acres, depending on how you want to calculate it. It originally was being filtered into 5 to 10 acres, depending on how you calculate it. And that water is being being channeled at a much higher rate into that small surface area, into the upper aquifer. Now we're talking about putting that water into the lower aquifer, in through the upper creek bed. That water is going to be mainlined right into our lower aquifer, and what is that going to do? It still has all the medications, all the poisons, salts, and everything else that went into the sewer, everything minus the nitrates and the fecal material. We are poisoning our aquifers, and we are going to be in a situation where we're going to have to do a reverse osmosis on our aquifer before we can put it into our pipes. There are a lot of things we need to talk about, and we're not talking about them.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, since your next meeting is 2 days before needs and wishes, I'm going to use tonight to talk about needs and wishes. 12th annual needs and wishes fundraiser is December 9th, Saturday, from 10 in the morning till 7 at night. The recipients this year are Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter, the SLO NOR Clinic, and the newly formed Los Osos Cares. Everybody here knows about the event. People watching on TV know about the event. What I wanted to spend my time tonight talking about is some of the progress that's been made and why the need is even greater this year. If you've driven by Prado Road lately, the new shelter is being built. The expected completion date is July of 2018. I was appointed to the Friends of 40 Prado board that will oversee the fundraising activities for the new shelter in the future. 12 years ago when we started this event, that was a pipe dream. It was a goal, but it was a pipe dream. It's nice to see it taking shape. The SLO NOR Clinic, anybody who knows about that, absolutely free clinic started by Dr. Noristani. They've expanded this year. They opened up a satellite office in North County. And I had contact with Rupert Chowans, who was one of the original board members and runs the eye clinic part of NOR Clinic, talking about coordinating for coming on December 9th, and informed me that next week the NOR Clinic, in conjunction with Mr. Chowans, is going to have a mobile eye care unit in the county that's going to be spend the week here, but it's going to have office hours at the three hospitals, providing free glasses, exams to over 400 people who have already signed up, homeless, indigent, and those in need. And then Los Osos Cares, the newly formed nonprofit in Los Osos, the collaboration to help those in need in Los Osos. Just getting started, worthy organization, and we decided that a portion of the proceeds this year would go to them. I have three requests this year. The toy store usually sells out by the end of the event, and by the time people pick up their silent auction items the next day, we always sell out the toy store. But I just want to remind people that buying a toy at our event and putting it in the Operation Santa Claus bin from Cal Fire serves two purposes. It gets them the toy. It gets us the proceed from the sale. Or come and buy a toy for a grandchild or a niece, nephew, or your own children. It'd be really nice to sell all the toys this year. Sorry, I got a little sore throat. This year at the event. Second thing is we have a matching tree. This is the third year of it. We have businesses and individuals in the community that have put up money in advance. We put bulbs on the tree. They have denominations. You come and pull a bulb off, match that donation. So basically your donation is doubled. We had $2,800 on the tree last year, and it sold out at 3:45. We were completely sold out. It's expanded this year, so if you want to donate and get your donation doubled, please come and do that. And then the third thing is come and bid on one of the prized silent auction items is lunch with CSD Director Chuck Cicina. And this year he's going to allow the recipient, to pick where they want to go for either lunch or breakfast. So let's get those bids way up there this year. Chuck's.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great event. It's all volunteer, and every penny raised that day goes to the three charities. We have no overhead, so every penny you come and spend at the event goes to those three charities, and the need is greater this year more than it ever has been. But everybody's made great progress in the last couple of years. So thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment for items not on the agenda? Okay. Administrative and committee reports. Fire department report.
Good evening, board. I'm pleased to speak with you today. We have a pretty small items to present to you today. We'll start with emergency activity for the month of September. South Bay responded to 132 calls in September. 79 were medical aids, 13 incidents were traffic collisions, and 7 incidents were reports of fire with 23 public service assists. We called out Company 15 three times this month for coverage behind, and for me as a battalion chief this month was extremely September and October, extremely busy. Luckily, didn't have any big incidences here in Los Osos, but was responded to and was the operations section chief of the CMC riot, and as well as I was deployed to Santa Rosa for about a week. And then my experience in Santa Rosa was that the tragedy that occurred there in that community was definitely by far the worst thing I've seen in my 27 years of fire history, and had to see a fire come out of that foothill area similar to ours here in Los Osos definitely is enlightening and brings a little bit more persistence to me in my fuel reduction projects that I'd like to see on our south side of our town. Special programs and projects that we had this month. We talked last month about the fire safety fair that actually occurred in October. I'll go into the details of that. Also, during the month of September, that's when we start getting ready for our winter seasons and our different programs that we present there. We sponsor with KSBY and the San Luis Obispo County Firefighters Benevolent Association to do Operation Santa Claus. Operation Santa Claus, we have buckets at the station, and if you could please have the community bring wrap toys, we'd be glad to take that donation and get those to those sponsors. We provide services through the local food bank and toy agencies with Seasons of Hope. We also have a collection point here for the food in the local community. So you can present your food to us. We're there 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and you help us fill those bins. On September 10th, we participated in Family Fun at the Fair Grandparents Luncheon at SBCC, presented by the Los Osos Rotary. And the kids of all ages had opportunities to tour our fire engines and provided trinkets and just basic education, fire education at that event. In September, South Bay continued planning with the Fire Prevention Week. Fire Prevention Week was, as you know, October 8th through the 14th. The campaign message was every second count and plan two ways out. And it's a powerful reminder that planning an escape plan for your home and your community will save lives. We reported about engine 215. It came back into service. That was a carryover from the October, and that's been in service and functioning properly. On September 22nd, Station 15, we hosted a local youth who has an interest in joining the fire service for a 24-hour ride-along. This young man was able to observe what it's like to live in a firehouse, and he also observed firefighters responding to emergency calls. I think we had 8 calls that day, so he was got the tour for sure. On September 25th, our executive assistant Harmony Brown was able to attend the Cal Fire Chiefs Association annual conference in Riverside. This was hosted by Cal Fire and funded by Cal Fire for her to attend. Where she gets together with the other administrative assistants, and they share ideas on programs and how to maintain and make those better. On September 30th, South Bay attended the Baywood Art Show and Lighted Boat Parade. Local artist Ted Emmerich of Emmerich Studios, and with support of Paul Irving from Big Big Slow, they gave us an award, and it's beautiful. It's a glass award that's now on display at the station, and they just wanted to thank us for our excellence and support, and we want to say thank you to them also. In fire prevention, we had 2 separate kindergarten tours, just a lot of public safety education with the youth. That's kind of our month. September is the kickoff to school. Then we also do the school inspections, and we really pay attention to the schools in the month of September. Medic Rescue 15, I'm glad to say, is in construction. I had 4 pictures to our General Manager Osborne. So the beginnings of that Medic Rescue being built up has started, and we're excited about that. About 3 months probably for delivery. Also in the month of October, we had a horse rescue, and we're successful there. Heat got out there, and a veterinarian, and we were able to get the horse back in the trailer and on its way. My last item, we're hiring for firefighters. Reserve firefighters, we're taking applications through October or November 6th. It's an entry-level position, and we're looking for part-time people to take looking for firefighting career paths to come send or put an application in. Applications are taken at the fire station, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Anyway, thank you. Any questions?
Nope, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sheriff Department report.
Hi there, I'm Ian Dowdy out of the Coast Station. So, Dowdy, D-O-U-G-H-T-Y. This report will be from October 12th to the 30th. So for calls for service in that time frame, we had 195. For the report prior, it was 278. My personal guess on the less calls for service was probably the reporting time frame, this being from the 12th to the 30th, whereas I'm assuming the one before that was an entire month. Suspicious vehicles, subject circumstances, we had 37 calls for service, with the previous month being 52. Phone scams, 3 calls for service. were of one claiming to be IRS, another one of a grandson in jail looking to get bail money, and the last one is a credit card application. Five reports of vandalism, one report of an animal cruelty of a dog in a car, and the dog was determined to be okay. Seven reports of theft, four reports of burglary, and 27 reports of disturbing the peace. And that can be anything from a party call to people fighting or a report of that to a barking dog. So that one is quite a wide span. The notable incidents for this time frame, on Santa Ynez Avenue, some of the local storage facility, they contacted us as they observed suspicious activity of a male and a female looking into open lockers who are not customers of the facility. Video footage provided still shot of the suspects in the car they were driving. The license plate of that car was determined to come back to an elderly female in Morro Bay. We determined that the license plates had been stolen off of her vehicle and placed on an identical-looking car, which, you know, we refer to as cold plating, so then the car doesn't come up as stolen if it's ran. One of the deputies observed the stolen vehicle with the stolen license plates driving on Santa Ynez Avenue. The vehicle was stopped, and it was determined to be an unreported stolen vehicle as well. The driver had stolen property along with methamphetamine and a scale and numerous stolen property. He's a subject who's well known by our office at the Coast Station. He was also arrested for a parole violation, possession of a stolen vehicle, possession of stolen property, and narcotics for sale. The female who was associated with him was arrested 2 days later. And it looks like 6th Street in El Moro for possession of heroin. The 2000 block of Farrell, a purse was stolen from an unlocked vehicle and contained cell phone pain medication. So I know we've said it before, but we'll, you know, always try to pass on to always lock your car, especially if items are left inside. And on the 29th, there was a report of a possible sexual incident between a teenager and a 46-year-old male. The teenage had responded to Craigslist ad, and there was correspondence on Craigslist and then from social media, and it's being reviewed by our sexual crimes detectives now. On this, Craigslist is often used for these types of meetings, so we just pass on if someone has teenagers or children to monitor not only social media, but also potentially Craigslist and other avenues like that, if there's any sort of suspicion. That's what we had for this time frame. So, any questions?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Utilities Department report.
Good evening, Mr. President, board, and public. We'll start off with water production for the month of September. If you read down the list, we had 17.7 million gallons produced from the wells. That averaged out to about a daily demand of about 590,000 gallons. And that's an increase of about 9.2% from last year based off of production. So based off these last few reports, you can see we are starting to produce a little bit more water and consume a little bit more water. So we need to be cautious of that as the public and keep reminding them to stick to their conservation plans as well. If you look at the gallons per day per customer, it's up to about 79.1 gallons per day, which is slightly a bit more than last year as well. The Palisades well, Third Street well, Third Street well is out of service still. Palisades well, we had about 3.85 MGD out of that well. And the rest of the numbers are down that list as well. As you can see, there's a bit of an increase from most of the wells on the production. And that correlates along with the runtime on the hours through the wells. Moving down to the billing information, this is the smaller side of the billing that we read this month, and we consumed approximately 13 million gallons per day, or 13 million gallons for those 2 months, and that brought in a revenue of about $207,000 for those 2 months. Going down to the reporting of the operations and maintenance, on the water distribution and treatment, the operators and the staff continue doing their daily, weekly, monthly water quality reporting. sample analysis and reporting to the state as well of all those analysis. Monthly meter reading. This month, during the last couple of months, what we've been trying to do is we get customers who call in and say they have higher usage than previous months, previous years. So what the office staff does is they go back, look at their past usage and see if it is different or higher. Or and I've been encouraging the staff and myself, going out in the field, talking to the customers, explaining them to possible uses of what the problems could be. One example is irrigation. People don't realize how much their irrigation uses. They say, well, it's a drip system. And I explained to them, well, yeah, coyotes and wildlife come out and they're looking for sources of water. They bite through that drip system. That drip system comes on in the middle of the night while you're sleeping, so you don't see those large holes in the line that's wasting that water. They shut it off for a couple weeks. We take a read. A couple weeks later, sure enough, it is their irrigation system. So we're working closer with the public, trying to help out a little bit more. You know, we'll look around the yard and give them tips and try to help them, because some of the people are elderly or just don't know the stuff about the irrigation system. So we're working closer with the public on that. Meter changeout, we replaced about 75 meters this past month. We're going to try to pick that up for next month. We had a couple leaks during that month that slowed us down a bit, but we're going to continue on that process of replacing the meters. Tank maintenance, we're pulling the weeds and painting on the tank to prevent corrosion control at the base of the tanks, which is the most important part of those tanks. Internally, if it starts externally, it can lead to internally, and then we get pinholes and leaks in the tanks. We had a mainline gate valve replacement on 1700 block of 15th Street. While we were doing that, we also replaced the dead-end blow-off portion of that and mainline as well. We had some troubleshooting of the South Bay ion exchange unit. The operators were realizing that they weren't getting enough recycled water back to replenish the ion exchange unit. One thing I did direct them to do was pull a core sample from the ion exchange, maybe grab a bit of the media, send it in for some analysis to see if we need to replace our media, because they're saying they're getting shorter run time. So that usually correlates with media just needing to be replenished. So, preventative maintenance on all the booster stations and the wells. That includes painting, greasing, lubing of all moving parts. Going down to drainage, we continue operating within our NPDES permit. A couple projects that they've been doing at the drainage systems are groundskeeping to ensure that we're getting proper percolation, especially with that huge rainstorms coming up that I heard Mr. Storm speaking about earlier this evening. So we want to make sure we're getting the proper percolations. Also in the drain system on 8th Street drainage, we're looking at replacing the panel there because the controls are outdated, the panel's outdated, so we had a visit with an electrician. He came out, gave us some information. We're looking to move forward with that. We're awaiting the pump, which has been awarded and ordered. Once we get that pump in, staff will replace that pump and have it in place, hopefully before the big storms come this winter. Bay Ridge Estates and Vista del Oro Collections. As noted on here, we completed the final jetting in September and beginning of October, and we're waiting for transfer of the collection systems over to the county. The rainfall data, the county hasn't updated their site as far as rainfall data since June, so there's nothing to report. We had, again, a little bit of rain, I believe, in August or September, but that's about it since then. That's all I got. Board have any questions?
No questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, General Manager report.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Legal counsel and I have been working on the SLOSIA and the MOU, with SLOSIA on the MOU for the miscellaneous bargaining unit. We're currently working on the changes approved at the October 12th special meeting and the salary steps, and the final MOU will be presented at the December board meeting. Community fund for sewer hookups. Morro Bay Estuary Executive Director Lexi Bell and I have been working on the application and guideline process for the community fund low income assistance program for sewer hookups. Once completed, the county will send out the funding information to all the remaining residents that still need to hook up to the sewer system. Other agencies will also assist in getting information out to the public. There are approximately, at the time that I wrote this, there are approximately 245 residents that still need to connect. All staff, including fire, prepared for a field visit from Special District Risk Management Authority, and this is the district's liability insurance carrier, and this was regarding safety procedures and documents, and we will hopefully be receiving a final report this month. Water, the utility manager, Jose Acosta, and district engineer Rob Miller and I have been working on the 8th Street Well Phase 2 project and the 8th Street drainage upgrades. Fire, Chief Alex and I have been working on putting together a safety task force for the Los Osos community. This task force would be in charge of creating an emergency response plan for all of Los Osos. For all of the Los Osos community. Commander Vogue from the Sheriff's Office, Bob Newman from CERT, Captain Mike Bueno from the California Highway Patrol Office, and I believe Chief Alex invited Tom Wright from the Los Osos Fire Safe Council will be our team experts. And once our mission is set, meetings will be open to the public. Parks and Rec, legal counsel and I have been working on the changes to the dog park lease. Bookkeeping and accounting. The bookkeeper and I have been working on the 2016-2017 fiscal year revenue expenditures report. We have been working with the county's auditor's office on missing property tax and assessment reports, and more detailed report has been given under item 11D under financial reports. And staff is currently preparing for the 2016-2017 audit, and that's been happening since Wednesday, I believe, of this week. And unless there's any questions.
Any questions from the board?
Nope.
Okay, thank you very much. LOCAC.
Good evening. Lynette Tornotsky, Secretary of LOCAC, and our chairperson intended to be here but couldn't make it at the last minute. We had our meeting on October 26, 2017, last Thursday, and there wasn't much with the reports other than Supervisor Gibson emphasizing that U.S. Fish and Wildlife had really handed it back to them with a huge boatload of comments on the Habitat Conservation Plan, so that is kind of in stall mode right now. The other things that we discussed were the homeless problem that came up in the sheriff's report, and we don't have an ordinance in this town regarding camping, which is kind of the problem is people will camp in their vehicles. So if we do come up with an ordinance, which would probably start at LOCAC's Traffic and Circulation Committee, eventually, when it gets crafted, it would go to the Board of Supervisors, but how long that would take would depend on the workload of legal staff and the Sheriff's Department, and it could be a year. And he stressed that the ordinance in and of itself would not cure the homeless issue, but it could be part of the program in the area. He also talked a little bit about the circulation element in the community plan and how that pathways and bike lanes and things could be developed as soon as funds become available to do that. We had one item on our consent calendar, which was the addition of a back porch, and we all voted unanimously for approval to pass that information to Planning Department. The biggest thing on the agenda was a very long discussion. It lasted at least an hour of something that came up again in traffic and circulation was the First Deep Street project of Bill Lee's. You may have been down there and seen the right-of-ways have encroachments apparently on them, so we were discussing the pros and cons of what he had done down there and what would be the remedies, and it was about 50-50 in the audience, and it was a very spirited discussion. And the other thing that came up on the agenda, as it always does, was there was a vacation rental, and as is our policy, until we actually have some policy, we just go by county guidelines, which is pretty much just a checklist of things that anybody could do, and if they have the money, they can pay for it. And so we have kind of been punting on that until we actually craft some rules, which we are in process of doing. So we simply forward all the comments from the audience to the planning department, and we don't take a stand on it. And that's pretty much it. If you have any questions.
I have one comment, I guess a clarification about the First Street project. Mr. Lee apparently is in the middle of preparing a project description. He's going to go through the county permitting process. He needs a coastal development permit. He's going through the permitting process, so that project will be coming back to LOCAC, I understand it, and then being heard at the County Planning Commission.
That would be the process. As to whether or not he does that, I don't know. That would be a question for Mr. Lee, so
right.
I don't know. Okay. But that would be the process. It would come back through committee to LOCAC and then on to the planning department.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chamber.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. My name is Steve Vinson, and I'm with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. First, the chamber has two new members. First one's a company called Really Sweet Stuff, which specializes in on-site estate liquidations. It's owned by Courtney Huckabee, and it's located at 475 Morro Bay Boulevard. The other one is Obispo Wealth Management. They offer financial planning for both businesses and individuals. Obispo Wealth Management is owned by Dave Nielsen. It's located at 1301 Charo Street in San Luis. The chamber is looking for a part-time advertising sales rep for securing ads for the chamber website, weekly e-blast sponsors, and the e-newsletter. We're looking for somebody with hopefully with some experience in sales and comfortable in making cold calls, good time management skills, and an outgoing personality. If you know somebody who's interested, please have them contact the chamber. The October business of the month was Slow Roasted Coffee. Slow Roasted Coffee was started in 1984 by Norman Galloway and his wife Gail, 31 years later. The company is owned by the second generation of coffee entrepreneurs, daughter Julian and son Chris. With the foundation of service and quality, they've held true to their values their fathers created. With the third generation in training, they continue to provide quality coffee at an affordable price. That's why at Slow Roasted Coffee, they say, don't just drink it, coffee, enjoy it. The 30th annual Los Osos Baywood Park Christmas Parade is going to be held Saturday, December 9 at 10 a.m. This year, Storybook Christmas is the theme. Participants in this year's parade are encouraged to decorate and costume their employees, cars, floats, whatever else they'll be showcasing to express their best creative ideas of a storybook character. Everything from fairy tales, nursery rhymes, Christmas stories, or any character in your favorite book. Entries are now being accepted until December 4. Those interested can pick up an entry form at the chamber office. Trophies will be awarded for the best of musical, best on foot, best wheels, best animal, etc. The Storybook Christmas Parade is open to all businesses, organizations, and community groups. For more information, call the chamber, or you can go to our website. And that's my report.
Thank you very much. Question.
What about the bears?
Which bear?
The bear competition.
Oh.
You didn't say anything about it.
Yeah. you got me on that one. The competition's over. There were some winners. I'm sorry, I don't have that information with me.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but you've been plugging it for a couple of months.
I know. It just dawned on me. Yeah.
I'm
apologize
sorry.
For that.
Congratulations on a successful Oktoberfest.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, went off without a hitch.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you.
Well, it's that time of year again, so I'm going to appoint an ad hoc committee of myself and Vice President Millage to review the bylaws and rules of decorum. We'll have those back in the winter. Utilities Advisory Committee report.
We met earlier in the month and pretty much just talked about the things that you heard from Jose. One extra thing that the committee talked about was that we wanted to prioritize what looks like we'll have a surplus from last year and rolled over this year, and then we wanted to talk about priorities and what we thought that money should go for. Some of the things that were discussed were upgrades to the yard down at 8th Street. We've talked about a new steel building to replace the leaky sea trains. And by the way, great article in the Bay News, nice photo. You, Neil, did a good job in that article. But we talked about with extra money, it would probably be good to put running water and electricity and that kind of thing in that steel building. So some upgrades like that are probably in the works. And also there was a request for some software that would allow us to keep track of maintenance scheduling and that kind of thing. So it was a good, productive meeting, and I'm really pleased with the direction of that department. Good article. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Finance.
Yes. I apologize again, Steve. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. And it was a good Oktoberfest, that was for sure. So, yes, we met on our Monday before the meeting, which we're reverting back to our previous schedule. So the committee met, and they did recommend that the board go ahead and receive and file recommended approval of the warrants, which is item C on the consent agenda, and then they recommended receive and file on the revenues and expenditures report. There was some discussion about that. The committee was only one member was there, but she felt that we were making good progress on the report based on the feedback that they gave the previous meeting. And I think if you look in the staff report for that particular item, there's a good two-paragraph discussion by Adrian as to the progress that she's making. Talked a little bit about the surplus funds again, and that's a UAC issue. And we may, and something we talked about, Chuck and I, we may have a joint meeting once you guys come up with a strategy that you want to develop. Talked about the 2016-17 closing the budget year out on that in the final report. Still some issues to be resolved. Talked about the audit that's ongoing the rest of this week, bringing the audit back for review by the Financial Advisory Committee, which is something that we've done in the past. And then last but not least, we talked about the work program for up and coming 2018. I handed it out. We had some discussions about items that should be concluded. We'll have our final recommendations back to the board at the December meeting. And that was it.
Okay, thank you very much. So I'm going to give a final report and thereby discharge the Government Services Ad Hoc Committee. This was constituted back earlier this year following a report that Vice President Millage and I gave. And what we've come up with is there's a lot of light but no heat on this. Everybody wants to kind of do it, but we kind of are having trouble turning the wheels. And we looked at the calendar and we said, the way this was framed, if you go back to the report, was this was something back in the 2014 election I talked about increasing this kind of thing, but we're actually much closer to next year. So what we decided to say here is that we're gonna stick with our earlier report and suggest that this be something discussed in the 2018 election, and however whatever resolution comes out of that, whether it's for or against, that'll give a much clearer focus to who and what we want to do with additional government services. So In other words, let's keep talking about this. Let's talk about it as a community and see where people come down on that next fall. So with that, we will go to directors' announcements of district and community interest and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Anybody? Yep.
I'm the chairman of LAFCO for the county, and we had our annual conference down in San Diego last week, so I was in attendance to that. But there was a couple of sessions that we had that dealt specifically with special districts and risk management type aspects of it, so I will be talking to Renee about that. But obviously there's a statewide interest in risk management issues. The other issue that took a lot of time was the pension things, but we don't have that issue. So anyway, I just wanted to report on that, but I will be talking to Renee about that.
Great. That's interesting, actually. So do we have any pending written questions? I don't think so. So with that, we will open to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda, except items pulled. Would any director like to pull any items? No? Okay, let's have public comment. Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and maybe I'll start kind of where you left off, President Storm. Are you announcing that you're running in 2018 with
God, no
comment? Because our supervisor has suggested he's running. Perhaps someone from this district's going to run in that race. I'm still having some heartburn over the idea that your committee meetings minutes do not end up in front of the board. I don't know how you read them unless you ask for them on your own or if they're distributed in your mailboxes. But I think those would be they just don't get the sunshine for the public unless they're on your agenda. The general manager's report, I compared it to last month's, and it was nearly identical, but for the addition of the item for fire and the safety task force. So I also was looking at your Facebook page, and the two Facebook pages, they're both stale. There's not a lot of energy. You don't have regular business items on your agenda anymore, 3 months running. We haven't had an emergency services committee meeting forever. That's supposed to be a monthly meeting. There was one in February, one in March, and one in May. That was it for the whole year for that committee. I just don't know what direction the district's going in, because nothing's happening. We're going to be out of here maybe as soon as 8 o'clock. You've given your general manager more time. I'd like to see more work product. So where is it? The one question I had with the utility department report, the electrician came in and looked at the panel. When we were in the budget discussion, there was discussion about training the service workers in electrical because of that panel and for other electrical reasons, other projects that they could handle on their own. So what happened to that training for electrical for the utility guys? Those are my questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening, Lindy. Lindy Owen. I'm a little bit shocked at the 79 gallons per day per person usage. That's gone up from what we kind of achieved at 50, 55, someplace in there. And I think that's symbolic that we're all kind of gotten used to the last price hike, maybe. People are not thinking, and we have had the end of a dry summer, so. But I'd like to, again, say that maybe some banners around town that remind people that we're still in a water crisis. It's really easy for people to wish that it would go away and kind of make it go away, but the fact is that we're allowing more expansion of houses in Los Osos. We're putting new houses outside the prohibition zone. We continue pulling water out of a water resource that is finite. So that bothered me. I'd like to see a little more direction towards how we can keep people alert. And then about the homeless issue, there will be a discussion about people sleeping in cars or in their vehicles. But beyond that, we have a huge homeless population that has no place to go. They have been targeted to get out of the area over behind the library, and that just means that they're wandering around town and finding more little places to hide. So we have not come close to really addressing what to do to help these people get off the street or get someplace where they're not in our hair, which basically leaving trash and not having any facilities is part of the problem. So, again, that is a large discussion in the county and in our communities about how to help homeless people. We have a community resource center that's up at Sunnyside School. They're doing everything they can to address getting people services and trying to help. But I'll just leave it at that. I hope that we don't make a rule to say people can't sleep in their cars, because I think it's slightly unconstitutional. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Steve Best again. Taking on one of those notes with Wendy regarding the homeless. I've been talking with Sheriff Vogue about putting together a town hall meeting with the Sheriff Parkinson. And these are the kind of things that, we don't get the kind of leadership from this agency that we should, we should be getting. We're not doing any community planning. I had a meeting with Kelly Brown before the last month, and she is indicating that the county is going to be passing off on working on looking at properties that are going to be looking at for parks and recreation, pathways, easements, and things like that, because it's not going to be their problem any longer once the community plan comes out and the HCP is approved. It's because the CSD is taking on the mantle of parks and recreation. It's going to be the CSD's responsibility now to come up with parks and community planning issues such as easements and how people are going to get from point A to point B without having to be on the streets with their strollers and their kids and bicycles and things like that. So I really don't see any community planning issues going on here. Where is that? Isn't that the part of the responsibility of the CSD to look after the community and take care of its constituents? That's not part of what really happens here. We've been lost in this minutia with the dog park, and that just is taking us nowhere except spending our money. There's just a lot of different issues that we're not addressing that we need to be looking at, and we're not getting any leadership from this community except for talking about how we're going to restrict more public access to the community bylaws and how we're going to restrict more dialogue. The other thing is that people don't come to this meeting because how are they going to get heard? There's no give and take from this body. People want to be able to come up here and then get some feedback, have some dialogue back and forth with the community, but people come up here and talk, and then there's just total silence coming back. We don't know what you guys are thinking. There's no dialogue. There's no transparency. It's dead. What are you guys thinking? Do you have any thoughts?
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, since Steve from the chamber brought it up. I'm going to back up on something I talked about in public comment quickly. I forgot to give the phone number in case anybody had a question or wanted to donate. 528-5800. As far as the future discussion about how to address the homeless in this community and in the county, it will be a huge mistake if we somehow outlaw sleeping in your vehicles. People who lose their home because or apartment because of a health issue end up out on the street. That's their next source of shelter. If they lose that or it's impounded, then they're on the street. And I'm going to give a success story. This is an actual incident that happened probably 4 or 5 years ago. There was a couple with a daughter who was in, I think she was in seventh grade. And the father had an illness. It wiped out their savings. They weren't able to pay their rent. They lost their housing. They had basically a large station wagon, that type of vehicle. He recovered, got a job. The mother worked. They saved every penny they could to get first, last, and a security deposit. The daughter did her homework in the vehicle by the overhead light, and the semester that they actually lived in the vehicle, she got straight A's. Without that vehicle, they would have been on the street, and I don't think that would have happened. So let's be very careful with how far we're going to eliminate or address the homeless issue in this community and the county. Then my last comment is, Marshall's report on the Finance Committee was glossy. There was more discussion than what Marshall talked about. There were he didn't say anything about the financials were passed on to the board with some changes that were supposed to happen. But those weren't the only changes that came up. Those were the changes that came up after three-minute comments. You still do not have any reconciliation of the 16-17 document that was pulled from your agenda last meeting. Now we hear at the Finance Committee that that document won't be reviewed by this board or the Finance Committee before it goes to the auditor. The first time the public and your board's going to be able to see the results of the financials for this district is the draft audit. It's a huge mistake.
Thank you.
Lynette Tornatsky, I just wanted to clarify a couple things. The county still has land use over us. It isn't up to the CSD, and we see land use issues at LOCAC, but that really isn't a CSD issue. They still have the land use authority, and the park situation is if the CSD wants to work on something like they have done with the dog park, that is something they can do on top and above what the county already does. The other thing is the community action team, which is out of the sheriff's department. There's two deputies that have been in the area contacting homeless people and trying to get them to services. The problem is they have 3,300 square miles to cover, and there's only two of them, so they're only here at certain times. There were some ideas that came up that we could do, but I'm not going to take the time to mention what those are here. I'm not trying to diss the homeless situation. It's just that a lot of them are on drugs, and that's where the problem lies. And so the other thing that is being done are the sheriff is contacting the property owners because the properties have not been fenced, nor have they notices to not trespass on them. So the sheriffs are a little bit trapped as to what they could do. And so it isn't just some horrible, we're trying to discuss this in cold-hearted terms for the homeless people, but some of them are not aware of the services that are available. And as Bruce Gibson has said, we're woefully underfunded for homeless services throughout the whole county, so it's not just here.
Thank you. Is there any other further public comment? Okay. With that, we'll come back to the board.
I'll make my usual motion, but can I make a comment?
Sure.
I'd just like to make a couple of comments on some comments that were made, and I don't know, Lynette was reading my mind here, which is a scary thing. But I just wanted to, again, we have no land use authority, period, flat out. We provide services. So I just wanted to clarify that. I think the other thing, and I was going to go through the community action team too, but one of the things that we did do in this short term here is that we've got the sheriff substation in this community. There was no sheriff substation here before. We now have it, which is two blocks away here. And that serves the whole North Coast, as Lynette said, 3,300 square miles. Yeah. I don't think it's square miles, but it's every voyeur from here to the Monterey Coast. So I think that, you know, the sheriff does work for the sheriff's employed by the county. They pay, the budget's approved by them, they set the priorities and whatever. So if we have issues with the sheriff or the homeless enforcements, that's something that has to be talked about with Supervisor Gibson. I think that, you know, the new organization that was set up here that I'm a member of, Los Osos Cares, is a local organization, and the Quisenberries, Mrs. Quisenberry, Linda, has been doing an awesome job on that, trying to get this thing going and addressing it on a local basis. So I think that, you know, there are things happening. So just to say or allege that nothing's happening, I think that's problematic. And I know we've been doing needs and wishes out here, what, for 12 years now, Richard? So, you know, so we do things out here. So I just wanted to, you know, somebody said that we don't respond, so I just wanted to respond. So anyway, if anybody else wants to comment, no, otherwise I'll make my motion.
No, I have a few comments, too, as well. Okay. I also agree that committee minutes should be in our board packet. We used to do that a lot, and I think it would help if we kind of got back into that. First, we got to have committee meetings, but
financial advisor would be a problem because we don't meet till Monday.
Yeah, that's true. That always would be. Water usage. We've heard from a couple people tonight about water usage increasing, and I just read an article in the paper the other day. There was actually a scientific study done, started in 2007, looked at the drought from about that time and then the drought that we recently went through, and it compared water usage with news reports regarding the drought. And lo and behold, the more newspaper stories that were out there, the more water conservation occurred. We've got to keep it in front of people. The first drought, apparently, there wasn't a lot of media attention paid, and there wasn't a lot of conservation going on. This last drought, of course, a lot of conservation, but a lot of media reporting. And so, it's time to ramp that back up again. What I heard at LOCAC from Mr. Gibson was that the county has not surrendered any Parks and Rec authority. The way I see kind of probably this working is that the ideas maybe are generated out here with the community development process that we have here and at LOCAC, and then we work with the county to make things happen, I think is the way I would imagine that goes. But he definitely was not of the opinion that they had given up any Parks and Rec authority. What I saw in the utility report was that there was a site visit with a contractor at the 8th Street Drainage Control Panel. And to me, that sounds like, we're replacing that panel. We got to have a contractor in. That's where the training comes from, is from the contractor who installed the panel. So I would imagine that training is just something we're going to, we'll be doing more and more and more on our own. And that's it.
Any other comments? I'll just say real fast, more than what Parks and Rec is not one of those things where only one agency level has the authority. So there's a state park right in our backyard. There's very close to here, there's a national seashore. I'm not sure the exact designation. So it's kind of like a national park. There's a county park. And then the CSD has an independent parks authority, and the last draft of the community plan I looked at said that it would go hand in, that the, it's possible that the CSD could augment park services in Los Osos, but I don't think there's any kind of handoff contemplated. And I'll just leave it at that.
Now can I make? Okay. I'll make a motion that we go ahead and receive and file items 11A and 11D, and that we approve item 11C.
I second the motion.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? None. Do we have any resolutions? Nope. Okay. Let's have a vote. Do we? Whatever.
Director Ohilski?
Yes.
Vice President Millage?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes, with the exception of D.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
And President Storm?
Yes. And you wanted to be no on D?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there were just enough questions.
I'm not questioning your vote. Yeah. I just want to make sure that it's not an abstention. It's a no.
It's a no, correct?
It's a no.
Okay, good.
I have a no.
Okay, good. Just clarifying. I understand what you're saying. Okay, so motion carries. Future agenda items?
I think we were going to have Capslo on December's agenda. I'll try and get somebody out here. That video looked like it would be a good one. That would be a good time. With the needs and wishes thing coming up, it would be, it's the right time to talk about
that's
how
the plan.
We deserve.
That's the plan. Anything
Great.
Else? Closing board comments?
It's daylight savings time. It's going to be dark early. School's back in. Let's slow down in our neighborhoods. Let's just slow down a little bit. I don't think a lot of people know that the de facto speed limits in town are 25 miles an hour unless posted otherwise.
Right.
It's not 35, it's 25. And in a lot of the dark, narrow streets around here, that's even an unsafe speed. So give your neighbors a break. Let's chill out and slow down and get a hold of Mr. Margetson if you have any strength in your elbow and wrist so that you can ring bells for the Salvation Army this holiday season up at Ralph's. 528-5800.
Thank you. Any other closing board comments?
I was going to bring that up, but I'll defer to Chuck.
Okay. And so meeting adjourned.